Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us for the Friday show on KLCC. I'm Rachel McDonald. We're in the studios with our regular guest, Dr. Patrick Ludke, Senior Public Health Officer with Lane County. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Rachel.
Well, Dr. Ludke, Lane County has been in the extreme risk category for rates of coronavirus infection for many months. Are the county's numbers looking any better, and do you think we're on track to move to high risk soon?
Gosh, yes to both of those questions. They are looking better, and we are tracking to go from extreme risk to high risk, and I'm really thankful for that. And part of it, I really do believe, is that we have this growing immunity in our community, both from the large number of people who became infected and developed antibodies and can't get infected again, at least quickly, and then the growing number of people who are getting vaccinated and are getting immunity. So the virus doesn't have as many places to go. We're not where we want to be yet, but we're trending in the right direction.
Now, some Lane County schools have opened for in-person instruction, and we just heard of a couple of cases at the Springfield School District, which started some in-person learning recently. Can you tell us anything about those cases or about what's happening with schools?
Well, we did expect a few cases when we opened schools. We have a lot of data in a bunch of different jurisdictions. Gosh, data from Wisconsin, North Carolina, Mississippi, some other countries overseas showing that this is the best way to reopen your schools and to maintain safety and decrease this class sizes and really focus on those infection control measures we've been talking about for so many months. But despite all that, even though many of these schools were able to open, they still had a small number of cases, but not huge numbers. So it's not unexpected to have a few cases. I don't have specific details on those two cases in the Springfield School District. And probably even if I did, you don't want to share too much because people have their autonomy, of course. But we can do this safely with really limited impact on the broader community outbreak situation.
What about the new variants of coronavirus? How concerned are you about more contagious variants? And is there anything we should be doing differently to avoid them?
You know, I think it's a very good question. We've talked on this show before about the races that occur behind the scenes. Early in the pandemic, there was a race to get a test so we could even test for it. There was a race to understand, do you swab the nose or the nasopharynx? Do you swab the mouth? Do you get blood? And then there was a race to get vaccines and then a race to get different types of vaccines. And one of the races that's happening right now behind the scenes, and you've mentioned it, is will these viral types that are out there now, will they mutate enough such that our tests won't work, our treatments won't work, and our vaccines won't work? And what we've seen so far is, yes, the mutations are occurring just as one would expect. And as there has been more pressure on the virus from better treatments, picking up cases earlier, and getting vaccines, the viruses are mutating a bit more because they have fewer hosts out there that are susceptible. And this is what you expect. So that race that's occurring is, will we get enough people immune, either through natural infection or through vaccine, before we get some perhaps really nasty virus that has mutated out of the ability to be stopped by a vaccine? And so far, what we've seen is the pressure on the virus has resulted in some of these mutations, but the vaccine that are out there and approved, at least the two that we have in the United States, are holding their own. There's a little bit of decrease in effectiveness, but not much. So that's really heartening. And given all the infectious pressure out there right now, that is a really strong positive that these first two vaccines are doing their job despite a lot of pressure.
With possibly a more contagious variant of the coronavirus and with just the number of cases, you know, in the county growing, should we be wearing two masks in some situations?
Oh, boy, the two mask question. So, you know, there has been some really good studies, and the CDC released some really good studies last week looking at the two mask question. And the challenge, of course, is not all masks are created equal. And we've talked about this for months, the difference between a surgical mask and cloth masks, and then the difference between a tight-fitting cloth mask and a loose-fitting cloth mask. And one of the challenges, of course, is people are using masks, perhaps the only ones they have available to them, that really don't have that elastic ability or the elastic straps to pull it tight against their nose, against their mouth, down around their chin. And they have those gaps where the virus can get in or it can get out. So if you have a mask of that type that doesn't fit that well, dual masking can help you. It will pull those gaps narrower and narrower, closer to your skin, and therefore less will get in and less will get out. And you'll be safer yourself, and you'll be creating a safer community for those around you in case you're the one who's shedding the virus.
Okay, this one might be a tough one because I see people who wear masks and their masks tend to creep down, you know, under their nose. And some people are really good about adjusting them. Some people not so much. Do you have a gentle way of reminding people to make sure that they have their masks on properly?
Well, one of the things I do, it comes from being a parent, right? You would mimic the activity. You'd pull your mask up, even though your mask is perfectly fine, and people will look at you doing it. But I also do just say, hey, your mask has dropped down. You just do it kindly and in the moment, and people respond. It really does bring up the research over the years, and I won't go down this path too far, but after SARS in 2002, 2003, there were all sorts of masking studies done the rest of that decade up till about 2009, looking at community use of cloth masks. And a large number of people just did not use them correctly. They kept them too long when they got saturated with that moisture from your breath. They had them below their nose, like you're saying. And we have gotten much better than we were some time ago, but still, we need to do it appropriately. Cover your nose, cover your mouth all the time.
So last week we heard of four people, two in Lane County, who had tested positive for the coronavirus even though they'd been fully vaccinated for it. Can you explain why this happened?
Oh, I'm happy to do so. You know, about a week ago, I was digging through calculations and looking at what we could expect in Lane County thus far after we vaccinated over 20,000 people. And looking at the data for these vaccines that were submitted to the FDA in order for them to get authorization to be used, even some of the people in the vaccine trials who got two doses ended up testing positive for the virus some weeks, even a couple months after they got two doses. The numbers were really small in the vaccine group. For example, for the Pfizer vaccine, if I remember correctly, there were only 8 out of a little over 20,000 people who got that vaccine. But in the placebo group, the people who got nothing, there were 162 who got positive tests after no vaccine or placebo vaccine. So clearly, the vaccines have done a lot. But the key point is there were still 8 breakthrough cases in people who were fully vaccinated. So we expected a small number. And I did some calculations last week looking at how many would we expect so far in Lane County based upon the number of people vaccinated. And we would expect somewhere in the 7 to 14 range so far. We found the first two, very much expected. Hopefully, we won't find many more. And this is yet another check on the effectiveness, the efficacy of these vaccines that we keep looking at behind the scenes. If we all of a sudden saw 50 people who had breakthrough and they got two doses of vaccine, we would say, hey, something's wrong, but we're not seeing that.
Okay, we got a voicemail from someone. This is related to vaccines. Here we go. This is Allison.
This is Allison from Eugene, and I'm wondering whether if you've had COVID-19, will a subsequent test turn up positive or negative, especially if the case of COVID was mild or asymptomatic?
So that's a good question. And early on, we only had the molecular tests, and like PCR, which I think many listeners have heard many times on this program and others. Those molecular tests will not be altered by the vaccination. And the antibody tests might. So a few months after COVID hit North America, we got some other types of tests. We got these rapid antigen tests, and we got these antibody tests. And the vaccine works by creating antibodies inside of you. And some of those tests test for the same type of antibody. So the two vaccines on the market right now are vaccines against the spike protein on this virus. And there are antibody spike tests out there. There are also other antibody tests that are not spike antibody tests. So, for example, there's a nucleocapsid protein that is part of the virus, and you can test for antibodies against that. So the key point is if you're getting an antibody test, there's a possibility that you will have a false test result based upon vaccination. But the other tests, the rapid antigen tests and those molecular tests like PCR, they will not be altered by vaccination.
And we still don't know if people who've been vaccinated against COVID-19 are still able to transmit the virus to others. Is that right?
We don't know fully. I mean, the data that was submitted for the two vaccines on the market now was to prevent COVID disease. So people symptomatic with COVID infection. The testing around does it prevent COVID infection? We just don't have enough data for that. We are gathering that data now that we have a couple months of using these vaccines, but we still don't know the percentage of infections that are prevented. It looks like a large number of them, a significant percentage of them are, but we just can't say that these vaccines prevent both COVID disease and 95% of COVID infections. We don't have that data yet.
Okay, here's a question that we got from Nola by email. She asks, in Oregon, new groups become eligible for the COVID vaccine faster than the backlog can be satisfied. How are higher priority populations being handled as more people are added to the pipeline? And will we reach a point where new categories will be on hold until supply catches up with demand?
So that's a challenging question to answer. We continue to be in a space of far more demand than supply with regards to vaccines and far more interest in people who want to be vaccinated. So the secondary challenge in that area is these are two-dose vaccines. So once you've vaccinated somebody with the first dose, you really want to make sure they get vaccinated within that window of when they should get the second dose. So they kind of bump into a priority group too, which affects other persons who are in different priority groups. So I think what my request is in that area is just to understand those challenges, both the supply issue and then the priority group issues once you've gotten dose one, dose two, and other people who clearly are at high risk, the elderly and people who have various conditions that put them at high risk. We want to make sure they're priority groups. So the way we have proceeded, the way that the state health department, Oregon Health Authority, has nudged public health to do so in this entire state is simultaneous vaccination of several priority groups. So we started with 1A, and we didn't do all of 1A and complete that and then move on to 1B. We started doing some of the 1Bs, which are the elderly and teachers, before we finished 1A. And we will not completely finish with 1B before we move on to some of the other priority groups because it's really hard to say one person absolutely should be before another person because there's so many different types of risk out there. I hope I answered her question.
This is the Friday Show on KLCC. I'm Rachel McDonald. We're talking with Lane County Public Health's Dr. Patrick Ludke. And while we're discussing vaccines, how is the vaccine rollout going in Lane County right now?
Well, in many ways, it's going quite well. In other ways, it's challenging. So you probably have heard some of, I think, the listeners have probably heard about these storms in parts of our country that have delayed some shipments. So that's always frustrating. But life happens, as we say, and this is just one of those urgencies that has impacted deliveries in some parts of the country. But in terms of getting needles in people's arms, which is really the ultimate goal here of people who want to get the vaccine, we have a huge commitment from our clinical community to help us. Multiple clinics, urgent cares, hospitals have stepped up to help. I'm aware of almost no wasted doses. If you look at some close to 40,000 doses given, I think there probably is a handful at most that got wasted by a broken vial or something like that. Every time our partners and us at Public Health enter into a vaccination clinic, we have a waiting list in case we're able to get one extra dose out of that vial. At the end of the day, we want to have one extra person there ready to get that dose in their arm. So a lot of the logistics have gone just really well. And I have to say, I'm going to toot the horn of our colleagues in public health. We've been hearing that as well from many people. People who've gone through the MassVac sites, they've said, I can't believe how well this was run. I'm proud to be a Lane County resident. And we've had similar comments from our clinical colleagues out in the hospitals and clinics saying people are really happy how well this is going.
I understand, though, that there has been some confusion about signing up for getting the vaccines. Can you talk a little bit about how it works with Lane County Public Health, and there are other ways that people can access the vaccine vaccine signups, correct?
Yes, and that is an area of confusion. So, you know, despite what I just said, how people are, how happy how things are going, they're not happy about everything. And it's a bit of a challenge because just like sequencing the vaccine and not completing one priority group before you move to the next one, our federal partners are filling multiple different pipelines of vaccines. So we have heard or discussed on this call, this show, about the Federal Pharmacy Program. That's a federal program run by the feds, and they give vaccine to certain pharmacies to vaccinate the long-term care facility, both residents and healthcare workers there. Well, that's independent of public health. They started the same thing with some retail pharmacies last week. That's another program independent of public health. There's the FEMA program that started a couple days ago in California, but it's going to be at 100 sites in all 50 states. There's the community health center program. They're called federally qualified health centers, which we have in Lane County, two of them. They will be getting their own vaccine independent of public health. So there are several different streams of vaccine coming in. And the good of that, of course, is that means you don't have to drive for an hour to get to a mass vax clinic. Hopefully, as we get more vaccine in the pipeline, you'll be able to go a very short distance to a pharmacy near you or a doctor's office near you. And that's very helpful. But in the short term, it's making people wonder, gosh, do I have to sign up on 10 different lists? And that's not the case. We want you to sign up one place or two. Listen to the airways of where it is that you should sign up. And if you are in a designated priority group from Lane County Public Health and you haven't heard from us, you can send an email to COVID vaccine. That's one word, COVID vaccine at lanecountyor.gov, and we can get your information and get you on our list. You can also call us. We have that 1380 number. I know many people have heard it, 541-682-1380, if you don't have access to an email or computer. And if you do have access to a computer, you can also go right online to the health department website and sign up. Just follow the little yellow band that says COVID-19, and you can sign up for vaccine. So several different ways, trying to make sure that everybody has a way to do it in case they don't have email or internet or phone.
And if someone does, say, for example, sign up through the Lane County website and then they also sign up through their pharmacy and they actually are able to get vaccinated at their pharmacy, is there anything they should be doing? Should they be calling public health and saying, hey, you can take me off?
It would be very nice if they would do that, even though every time we do one of these clinics, we have a list of people who are in waiting if there's vaccine at the end of the day. It would be very helpful if you've already gotten vaccinated and you're not going to show up for your appointment to let us know that. And that frees up a space for others. And it also makes that rush at the end of the day a little less emotionally traumatizing. We got to get this vaccine in people's arms. You know, we're trying. We're really trying. And there's a lot of stress in that. So please do let us know if you've been vaccinated and pull your name off of your appointment time.
Great. Well, here's a question we got from Kim, who wants to know about, she says she's 64 years old with no comorbidities and wonders when she will be eligible for the COVID vaccine. So under 65.
Okay. And are you going to play something or that's?
No, this was an
email. Okay. So we started, I guess, a week ago now with 80, and we're going in 5-year increments, right? So 75 years and above, then 70, then 65. And then she will be part of the general community. My best guess, if she has no comorbidities, she's not a healthcare worker, she doesn't fit in any of those other priority groups, which sounds like she doesn't, she will probably be in the broader community vaccination, which, given sort of my look at the pipeline, I suspect it'll be in May. That may not be what she wants to hear, but that would be my best guess at this time.
So it won't necessarily go from older to younger once we kind of get past the folks that are considered more high risk at, you know, 65 and over?
Correct. It will be a larger group of people who are all at roughly the same risk.
Now, what about people who do have comorbidities, say, you know, people that have other pre-existing conditions and are under 65?
Well, I think that's a good question because at some time, many of the practices in our community have signed up. to receive vaccine on their own, directly from the State Health Department, independent of Lane County Public Health. And we want that. Once again, we really want to have multiple access sites so people don't have to drive all over Lane County to get vaccine. And it'd be great if they can just go to the normal place where they get their flu vaccine every year. So eventually, in the coming weeks, that system will be activated and will be working. There'll be enough vaccine in the pipeline. So many practices that are part of the Oregon Medical Group practice, they're part of the Peace Health Outpatient Clinics, they're part of Springfield Family Physicians, all these other practices in town will begin to get their own vaccine. But again, I suspect that won't be until, you know, the May-ish timeframe if the vaccine manufacturing continues at its current pace.
So here's a question. Again, this is an email question. This is from Karen in Benton County. I am a healthy late 70s female, and I am interested in knowing what the rate of recovery from the virus is for people in my age group. I see only data on the mortality rate.
Oh, I think it's a really good question, too. Gosh, full of good questions today, Rachel. So we have several countries' data of their experience, and we know about 80% of people who get infected of all ages get mild or asymptomatic disease. So just pull those out. That's 4/5, 80%. So of the remaining 20%, roughly 15% can get severe disease. We usually identify severe disease as disease bad enough to require hospitalization. And the other 5% get critical disease. And those are people typically on the ventilator in the ICU. So 5% of an infection getting critical disease, oh boy, that's terrible. And that's why all of these really community-changing events, these initiatives we put in place to prevent that 5% from paralyzing the entire healthcare system, paralyzing our country. So with that as a background, I will just add that most of the people in that critical 5% are people over age 65. And as you get over age 70, over age 80, you become an even larger slice of that 5% of people who get critical illness. So she said she's in her late 70s. The highest risk that we've seen from the Italy, the China, the New York data is people over 80. She's probably really close to 80, being late 70s. She's in a high-risk group. But that being said, most of those people do recover, but not all of them. So we're really concerned for that. I can't give her absolute data, but I would say that she's in a high-risk group and she should continue being careful.
Okay, last question, and we've got just about 30 seconds left. This is Marilyn from Independence who says, my husband and I are scheduled to get our first injections next week of vaccine, I take it. Will we still need to wear masks and continue with safety measures, and if so, for how long?
You will indeed need to continue. No vaccine is perfect. These first two vaccines, 95% and 94% effective, that is not 100%. And not only that, you're only going to get the first dose. Depending on which dose you get, which vaccine you get, you're going to need to get the second dose. So you continue masking, protecting yourself and others. And then when you get full immunity, which we hope you do, no immunity is perfect, and we don't exactly know how long it's going to last. We're hoping it's going to last a couple years, but in some people it may only last 6 to 8 months. So the safest way forward for you in the community is get your vaccines, but continue that infection control that will keep us all healthier.
Thank you so much.
Most welcome.
Thanks for joining us for KLCC's Friday Show. Dr. Patrick Ludke is Senior Public Health Officer with Lane County. We had production help from Angela Kellner and Jason Brown. I'm Rachel McDonald. Enjoy your weekend.